You, and I'll sing background for you, okay, while you share the word. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Good morning, church. Just in worship, I really felt the Holy Spirit say the phrase that the best investment you can make is within people. And I really felt, like, as young as I am, like, I'm considering investing some money at the moment, a little bit that I have. And, like, constantly God's given me opportunities to bless people rather than to store my money up in a bank account or whatever it be. And I've seen the return is, like, overwhelming. And, you know, when you're young and you, you know, go to an older person who's a lot wealthier than you, and you pay for dinner, you pay for the breakfast, whatever it be, and you just step out in faith and you say, I'm investing in you, the return that you get is overwhelming. So what I felt for just the church here is, if you honor and admire the call that's on this house to spread the message of grace and the people that are employed here and work through here, it's not just giving to an organization or a building or to pay the lights and water, but it's more than that. Like, you're saying, I agree with who these people are and I honor what's on their life and I'm going to invest in them. And where you put your money, like, almost your whole heart will turn, and you'll find that it'll be a lot easier to support their ministry and just to get involved with it as well. So just to encourage you guys, don't just invest in other things. Consider investing in people.
Amen. Good word, Andrew. Wasn't that a good time of worship this morning? And honoring mothers. I think that's good. Maybe the two go together. Maybe we should do that every Sunday. Honor the moms. You listen to songs on the radio, and those of you from the 60s were living, love, love me do, you know, or the 70s, 80s, 90s. What is the dominant theme? It's love. There's something deep in people's hearts when they connect with their real purpose for living. It has to do with love. That's why all the popular songs are about love. That's why the Bible's so full of love. Because God is love. And this new kingdom that we have been born again into, the operating system of this new kingdom is grace. But the temperature in this kingdom is love. And that's what makes the whole thing work together, because as we come out of a kingdom called darkness, where Jesus had already died for us, but that knowledge hadn't come to us. When we put our faith in it and we were translated into a new kingdom, we can carry on living in this new kingdom, but with a mindset of the old kingdom. So we're in a new kingdom with all the benefits and privileges available to us, but we never access them by faith because our minds have become a cork, have become a block, because they are unrenewed to the kingdom principles. And that's why we've been teaching on faith, to access what grace has provided. Because if we don't know what's rightfully ours and we don't know how to access it by faith, we can live in poverty sitting on top of a vault with $100 billion in it. Nobody tells you that it's there. But in the midst of this kind of wanting to live maximum lives in this new kingdom, you're always going to remember that what water is for the fish, love is in the kingdom of God. And there's a wonderful scripture here in 1 John chapter 4. Gary, if that could come up. 1 John 4, which is a love chapter, says, and so we know. Well, let's read this together. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. We love because he first loved us. Wow. That says so much. It sort of sets the parameters of what his kingdom looks like and what his kingdom is going to look like forever. Because remember, the church is his instrument on earth to reinforce his kingdom, but the church is going to be closed up one day. But his bride that we become will live for it with him forever in an environment of his love. That's why I love these times of worship, because for just a moment I feel like, oh, everything else in life makes sense when I know I'm loved. When I know that God is love. It doesn't even say God is forgiveness, because God forgives. It doesn't say God is grace. God shows grace. It doesn't even say that God is faith. We can only please God by living by faith, because God is a faith God. It says that God is love. You want to know his character. And part of the benefit of living in this new kingdom is we get to experience here on earth just a little flicker, like a little foretaste of what is going to be forever and ever in his kingdom. It's this thing called love. Carries on in verse 20, and it says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he sees cannot love God who he doesn't see. And it just got a little bit more quiet in the church at that point. Hey, Steve, I preferred it when you're talking about the love of God. Can't we just stay there for a while? Because there's a God working, really irritates me. And I've done it from a Christian, because the Bible says, if I don't love my brother who I see, how can I say I'm loving God who I don't see? Okay. Every eye up, yeah. Let me just backtrack a little bit here. First of all, let me tell you, it's very healthy that we learn to love ourselves. Why? Because the Bible says, Jesus said, love others as you love yourself. You want a scripture for that? Mark 12 verse 30. Love others the way you love yourself. So when you bear that in mind, thank you. That's it. Gary, you're on the ball this morning. It's very important to keep Jesus' words in our mind while we read the scripture in 1 John. Because the 1 John scripture can be a ministry of condemnation if we don't rightly connect it and divide it and understand it. What it's saying is this. God is love. We know we are in love because we're in God. Thanks, Gary. There's a new kind of love that is deposited in us when we live in God's love. When we are in him and he is in us. There's a new kind of love. Now, we all know the kind of love that doesn't work. It's that selfish me love, you know, that you also hear about in the popular songs on the radio. Love, love me too, you know. Oh baby, I need your love today. If I don't have your love, I'm not gonna make it. I need your love, I need you. What's the love about? Not love. It's all about what I can get, what's good for me, what I can benefit. Now, there is that kind of mixed up love. And if we think we can love God with that kind of love, we are hopelessly misinformed. If we think we can love one another with that kind of love, we are terribly defeated and we'll discover it doesn't work so well. Well, we can grit our teeth and pretend that we love one another, but deep down, and you depending on that kind of love, which really comes out of a selfish, what's in it for me, the Bible says, if I think I can direct that love to God, that's not the love he's looking for. Now, you've got to track with me on this, because it only hit me at about 6 o'clock this morning. That when I try and love God with a faulty, human kind of love, I'm deceiving myself. So the way the scripture points it out to me, it says, if I think I'm walking in love, but I hate my brother, don't try and think I'm loving God with that same kind of love. Because if it manifests here as hate and not as perfect love, what makes me think it's operating here? So the first thing that needs to happen is that our minds need to be renewed to understand, as we've been doing a series on, as he is, so are we in this world. The perfect love, Jesus himself, walked on this planet. He lived your life that you couldn't live. He lived it perfectly. He died in your place a death that you could never have died. So that when you put your faith in him, you're putting your faith in his life that he lived and his death that he lived. This is the life of faith. That's what prompted Paul to say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I'm now living, I'm living by faith in the Son of God. What does that mean? It means that I have to start understanding that his love for you is the love that God's looking for. And when I can love you by faith, just work with me here before the questions start coming into your mind. If I learn to love you by faith, I'm accessing a much greater reserve and resource of love. Because who knows, he loves the person next to you perfectly. Hello? He loves that person sitting next to you perfectly. But just in case you're misinformed, your love isn't as perfect. So if you're relying on that love, which ultimately is like hate compared to God's love, don't ever think that's the love God's looking for. God's looking for a new kind of love. And it's a love he put in you when he put his son in you. When you were born again and became a new creature, something changed on the inside of you and you've got a reservoir, you've got a capacity to love like Jesus. Now this is how it works out practically. Someone, that guy at the office that irritates you. And he's a brother. So you got no excuse now. Even if he wasn't a brother, you got no excuse. You just love him for different reasons. The one you love him out of compassion, then you get saved. The other one you love him because you're in the same kingdom as him. And he's irritating you. And you're struggling. And you, oh God, you know I love him, but please give me a transfer. Lord, I heard about the fivefold ministry at church last Sunday. Can't I give him some? Lord, what? Help me, help me. God's saying, no, no. While you're looking at your ability, it's the same ability that you would look to save you, which can't. Same ability that, to live righteous, which you can't. Why would he give you any less when it comes to the most important temperature ingredient in his kingdom, which is love? Depend on your love. Okay, Lord, I'm starting to understand this thing about the finished work of the cross. I'm starting to understand this thing about grace, that you live my perfect life for me. So when I look at that person, I'll be not pointing at anyone else, they're going to think I don't love them. When I look at that person, I'm struggling. I say, Jesus, I know you love that person perfectly. And by faith, I'm entering into your love for them. No longer I live, but now Jesus living, you see, I can only love, sorry if it's the president, I'm a little busy right now. Just before John writes these words about if we say we love God and we don't love one another, listen to what he says in verse 4. He says, you dear children are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Say, the greater one is in me. And a few verses later, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. So John, before he tries to land this huge craft of loving one another, he has to draw a total distinction between human love and agape love. But before he even gets there, he lays the runway and he says, as he is, so are you in this world. He says, greater is he in you than he that is in the world. He's talking to fellow believers. He's talking to people who have been born again of an incorruptible seed, of a new nature, of a potential that the unrenewed mind wants to still rely on self-effort. It wants to rely on how well they can perform in that situation so that God will look down from heaven and tick off a few boxes. The new creation looks to what Christ did on the cross and says, Jesus, yours is the perfect love. That's the kind of love that my Father's looking for. So that's the kind of love I've got to express to my fellow brother. Very different. Jesus was the most loving person who ever walked on this planet. The difficulty here isn't with love per se. The problem is with as a man thinketh in his heart. Okay. Let's look at this from a different angle. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, say so. Here's the point he's trying to make. So. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, the old is gone, and the new has come. Verse 14 starts with this love that is compelling us. He then presents a case of, because we died with Christ, we have a new life on the inside of us. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So no longer look at one another as you used to look at them. That's the point of that passage. Now, why is that so important pertaining to the subject I'm speaking about this morning? It's this. We've got pictures that we create of people around us. It's almost images that we form, and we relate to that person based on that image that we've got of them. That's just a short way of saying a long thing that we categorize people and stick them in boxes. And then, unfortunately, we keep relating to them as that person that we've put in a box. So if it's someone you work with, or someone who said they were a Christian and then did something wrong, or someone who says he's a leader, but didn't do this, or someone, we kind of categorize people, and then we start relating to them according to that category of what we think they are. But the scripture says to no longer look at people in the natural. We looked at Jesus like that once. He was just a carpenter that walked on the banks of Galilee, and everyone saw him as a good teacher. But now he says, we don't look at him like that anymore. Now we recognize who he really is. In the same way, stop looking at each other as just in the ordinary, in the natural, as they are. Look at them as they really are. And what is that? A new creature in Christ. You see, when I see Richard, and I no longer just look at Richard as the star actor of our last production and hold him to that in his life and in his ministry and in his future and in his potential and in his capacity. Or if I look at someone who's in the youth, or if I look at someone who's just come through divorce, or if I look at someone who's whatever, and I hold him in that place now, the Bible says I'm not seeing who he really is in Christ. I'm not seeing Jesus. It kind of made sense of that old saying we had years ago, you know, the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. And then some people said, oh, it's a nice cop out. You mean you don't really love me? No, that's not what I was saying. But the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. Because I'm no longer relying on what can become an imperfect love, because one day it can love you, the next day it can hate you. Next day it can love you, next day it can hate you. I'm going to depend on a love that was much stronger, because I'm going to see you as my Father sees you. And I'm going to see you as if Jesus has unzipped you, got inside you, sitting here and saying, how's it, Steve? Do you think that would change how you relate to the person sitting next to you, if you really got to see who was living inside them? Do you think that would change the kind of love that you have towards them? You might have heard moms often say, I love my kid, but at the moment I don't like them. No moms in this church, I know. See, there's a love that fluctuates. But there's another kind of love that is consistent. Maybe that's the kind of love that God does put in mom's hearts for their kids. I know that for a fact. Or else they wouldn't get through the teenagers. It's like someone said, oh, my little baby's sleeping. I just love little bits. I wish I'd eaten him up. And then a few years later, I wish I had. See, there's a love that fluctuates. But there's a love that has been put inside of you when Jesus, a spirit, came inside of you. That's the love that compels you. That's the love that doesn't keep a person in a box. That's the love that sees them as who they really are. And you see, when I see Jesus in you like that, I can be patient at the rate in which your mind is being transformed. When I start seeing Jesus in you, I no longer just measure you by your behavior. I measure you by who you really are. I see you as you really are. If I look at your behavior, I will relate differently to you. And because we're human, we all make mistakes in this area from time to time. Amen? This is not a message to make you feel or condemned. This is a message to say there's a much better way. This kingdom is a kingdom of love. And he didn't command us to do something that he hasn't empowered us to do. So if I'm not doing it, continually not doing it and hating someone, it's a good sign that I don't know anything about loving God. Because if I can't have the truth of the gospel in me, loving the creation that God has put inside you, chances are I've never understood this message. Which means the love that I think I have for God could actually be deception, and I could be thinking my way in a good relationship because I lift my hands at church and sing wonderful songs, but my heart does not know what it is to be compelled by the love of God, does not know what it means to engage in love at that level. So God in his mercy points it out to me by letting me sense some of the hate at this level. Are you tracking with me? Is it making some sense now? As I said, about 6 this morning, I started getting flashes because I don't often preach on love. You know, I prefer preaching on healing, signs and wonders, and talking in tongues. Come on. But that's not the temperature of the kingdom. Those are signs of the kingdom. Those are functions of the kingdom. What love are you depending on in loving the people around you? Be honest with yourself. Is it a natural love? Because then you can fail and fail and fail. Or are you tapping into the one who loved them with an unbelievably intense love? And he still does. And he always will. Now I can be patient if your mind is unrenewed. Because if your mind's unrenewed, you're reflecting bad behavior in your life. And I don't have to agree with that behavior. Just because I say I love you doesn't mean I have to agree with the behavior. In fact, if I really love you, I'll help you break out of those patterns of behavior. And sometimes that calls for all kinds of loving intervention in your life. Or in a person's life. Or in family's life. But we don't only see them as their behavior. We learn how to separate now. Can you see? I can't be looking at someone in Christ and still be thinking their behavior is who they are. I'm able to differentiate. Hope this is helping someone. It's helping me. I was going to tell you a Mother's Day story, but kind of running out of time. That new musician up here this morning just hogged all the time. I was going to tell you a Mother's Day story about my mum. And I'm going to have to leave it till next year, Mom's Day. No. Okay, just a quick version, all right. She was about 16 when she discovered that I was on the way. And you did the noble thing back in those days. You got married quickly and then had another baby and then got divorced. And during the riots of the early 60s up in northern Rhodesia, they stuck my sister and myself on a train, got us out of the country. Mother joined us a bit later. And she fell in love with a pro golfer. Let that be a warning to all you out there that play golf. No, he was a good man. But kind of grew up just in a maze of golf courses, the 19th hole, and a whole lot of drama in between. Ma was the apple of my mommy's eye. You may not believe that now, looking at me. I was the apple of my mother's eye from 0 till 10. And then something happened when I became a teenager. I don't know what it was. But it was crazy. Anyway, what was even more crazy was 10 years later was when I told her I'd become a Christian, a fanatical born-again Christian. She said, don't you want to rather go back to being a pub crawler than a... She could relate more to that than to... Long story short is she endeared herself to my late wife. Her and my Sabrina became good friends. And she took the death of my wife very seriously. I couldn't understand it back then. I can understand it today. There's nothing worse than seeing your children go through pain. I thought it was for herself, but now I understand what her pain was. But she regressed, although years later she grew to love Jan. She regressed terribly into drinking and drugs and attempted suicides that left her brain damaged and dependent on the family to look after. But in her late stages of, she passed away. She was 53. I'm only realizing how young that is now. And also realizing kids, something you don't realize is your parents were also just kids who had kids and tried their best. They were just a kid that had a kid and then said, oh, now what must I do? That's a parent. Hey, what, I got a kid now. But you know, the amazing thing, in spite of so much drama and so much just destruction and divorces and new marriages and moving and living with this one and living with it through all those years, I realized that if I could go back 20 years, 30 years and tell my mom about this incredible love, that she wouldn't just see Christianity as the nice list of things that you've got to stay away from as long as you can, you know? So some people see Christianity, the nice list. You've got to stop those things. And I guess back then I was such a Pharisee legalist, she probably would have had that reinforced. Because that's all I knew. But I was thinking the other day, if I could go back and share grace with her, share the gospel, and have her understand how loved she is, irrespective of anything she could do or say or think, that no sin will ever be held against her, that judgment is past. If I could explain her new identity and righteousness, how it would have changed her life. But the amazing miracle is how much I feel in my heart a love for a person that was imperfect and who was very imperfect himself. And I share that because to moms and mothers-to-be, you sometimes look at your life and think, it's been such a mess. I've done this wrong and I've done that wrong. I've had disappointments. I've disappointed. Maybe you haven't even seen a loved one or a child for a long time. Or you don't know where they stand with Jesus. I hope this little testimony gives you hope. That there is a love that is so powerful. And that with that love, Jesus is changing the whole world, person by person by person by person. And maybe if you are a mom, and I wanted to pray for you this morning, or a mother to be, or maybe a parent, maybe a child who's got parents. Any kids with parents? I knew I'd get a full round. I want to pray that irrespective of disappointments, tragedies, heartache, unfulfilled expectations, promises, that you will be compelled by the love of God. That you will be constrained by the love of God this morning. So can we stand up? And may I pray for you? And so we know and rely on the love of God. God is love. Whoever lives in God and God in him lives in God. We love because he first loved us. Father, that's our first boast this morning. And it wasn't that we loved you, but that you loved us. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you demonstrated that love by coming and living the perfect life, dying the imperfect sin sacrifice, being raised for our justification. Thank you, Jesus, that through faith in you and in your shed blood, we become a new creature. Maybe right now, while every head is bowed, we ask you, have you been born again? Because this is what I've been talking about this morning, is this miracle of new life. Or maybe you have been born again and you are in a new kingdom, but your mind is still so trapped and so limited to what Jesus has got for you. Then will you just, let's say this together audibly, together this morning. Father God, not that I loved you, but that you loved me. Gave your son, that I can be born again. I can receive his nature. Every righteous act he ever did. Every perfect day he ever lived. Every faultless act of love he ever gave is in my bank, in my life, that you see me as you saw your son, righteous, holy, without blemish. And you relate to me in the same way that you related to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth as a man. And now, Lord, I want to just pray for everyone who's professed that here in this place, that you would cause just a fresh baptism of the love of God, just to come. Lord, come right now. Just a fresh baptism of the love of God, just to come and saturate every single person standing here, every ear that is heard, every heart that's had the seed sprinkled on it this morning. Supernaturally, Lord, we pray for a harvest. Supernaturally, we pray for fruitfulness of love in this place. I pray that minds have been renewed this morning by the preaching of the truth. Minds, your mind is being renewed today by the preaching of the truth. That it's not you, but Christ who is your faith. And as you put your faith in his perfect life, you will walk in the high temperature of this kingdom love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.